Hello and welcome to this USGS podcast. I'm David Heber. On Wednesday, January 20th, a magnitude 5.9 aftershock struck Haiti, which was alarming and notable considering the magnitude 7 earthquake that devastated that country last week. So I'm here with Mike Blanpede, USGS Associate Earthquake Hazards Program Coordinator, and he's going to fill us in on sort of the earthquake picture in the near future for Haiti and for the Caribbean at large. Mike, I know you're very busy. Thank you for joining us once again.
Very happy to be here.
So let's start with the aftershocks. Again, there was a significant aftershock yesterday. There have been other notable aftershocks since the main earthquake last week. Can you just talk a little bit about the aftershock picture? You know, what sort of probabilities are we looking at? How big? That kind of thing?
Yes, aftershocks have continued since immediately after the main magnitude 7 earthquake. As is always the case with large earthquakes, there are a number of aftershocks. It turns out that this sequence turns out to be particularly vigorous. We're seeing more aftershocks than we would expect on average, say, in California. There have been at least 15 aftershocks of magnitude 5 or larger over the 9 days since the main shock. Looking forward for the next few days and weeks, we expect that the aftershock sequence will continue. Of course, we can't say exactly where or when any particular aftershock will occur. However, we can look at the sequence, and using simple established models for the rate and statistics of aftershocks, we can make a projection of how likely aftershocks are at various sizes over the coming weeks. For example, if we just look for the month ahead, we've given a probability that there'll be more aftershocks at the magnitude 5 level or above. That's about 90%. In other words, it's almost assured that we'll see more aftershocks of that size, and we may see even two or three of those. At a higher level of magnitude, magnitude 6, we've not seen one of those in this sequence. We've seen 5.9, but not quite up to the 6 level. And there's probably a 1 in 4 chance that we will see a magnitude 6 earthquake sometime in the next month. And of course, the trouble there is that an earthquake of that magnitude can cause considerable damage, especially to the weakened structures already existing in the region due to the previous earthquake.
Okay, now with that in mind, what kinds of precautions should people in Haiti be taking right now?
Right now, people need to be extremely cautious when working around structures that are still standing or those that have been damaged in the main shock. If you're on the ground in Haiti, you must maintain some awareness of the situation with regard to your personal safety. You need to be aware that the ground could shake at any time, so if you're working in or around structures, be ready to take quick action to take yourself to safety if the ground begins to shake. People should be aware that really it takes an authoritative engineer who's qualified in structural design to determine if a damaged building is safe to reoccupy. In some cases they may be, but if you're not sure, the best guess is that a structure that appears to be damaged is probably unsafe.
So what are some of the short-term concerns for Haiti as far as seismic activity goes?
Right now, scientists from the USGS and elsewhere are working very hard to gain a better understanding of exactly how the Earth behaved in the earthquake of 9 days ago. The earthquake occurred on a very long fault, the Enriquillo Fault Zone, that stretches through Dominican Republic, Haiti, and then out to sea toward Jamaica. Only a portion of that fault ruptured in the earthquake of magnitude 7. This means that other sections of the fault, which have not slipped recently, remain hazardous. And we're looking at a variety of types of evidence from space photography, LIDAR, and other types of investigations in order to determine what that fault looks like, how long ago it was that it slipped, how hazardous it is, so we can make an improved assessment of how likely it is that earthquakes will occur in the future.
Let's transition to the long-term picture, both in terms of the infrastructure there in Haiti when trying to rebuild and geologic hazards on that fault system that you mentioned. What are some of the long-term concerns?
Well, looking at the seismic situation in Haiti, it is part of the seismic zone that cuts through the Caribbean. And Haiti itself has two major plate boundary fault zones, this one and one farther to the north. And over the past centuries, three or four centuries, there have been several earthquakes of the size of the one last Tuesday that, if they occurred today, would cause considerable damage. And it's really been a century, or in some cases two or three centuries, since portions of these faults have ruptured, meaning that they remain highly stressed today and pose a hazard. As Haiti works hard to recover from this earthquake and begin the process of rebuilding, it's very important that there be an improved understanding of the seismic hazard that exists due to these large faults. And there needs to be a sufficient understanding about the likely shaking in the urban area and elsewhere in Haiti so that building codes can be developed that will safeguard these buildings such that they don't fall down when the earth shakes sometime in the future. In the coming years, in coming decades, there will certainly be other earthquakes in the area. We can't say when, we can't say where, but it is very likely that during the lifetime of buildings that are built now in the recovery from this earthquake, they will be shaken, and we need to make sure that those buildings don't fall down and hurt people when that shaking occurs.
So let's expand the picture a little bit here and look at the Caribbean as a whole. What sort of hazards are presented in the Caribbean as a region?
All right, looking at the Caribbean as a region, it as you know, it's an arc of islands, the Lesser Antilles and Greater Antilles. And what those islands represent is a boundary between two large tectonic plates, those of the Caribbean and the North American. So this entire region is seismically active because these two plates are shearing past each other. We talk frequently about a ring of fire around the Pacific due to the plate boundaries there. Well, this is a little ring of fire located just to the southeast of the United States. So every one of these countries has a certain degree of seismic hazard, and looking forward, now that this earthquake has highlighted so dramatically for us that there are these large risks, it's really incumbent upon everyone to make sure that earthquake safety policy is founded on a good understanding that there is a seismic hazard and a good assessment about what that hazard is. And that goes both for the hazard of shaking and also that for tsunamis, which can also occur.
Well, thank you again for your time, Mike. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or mention that you haven't had a chance to yet?
Oh, I'd just like to conclude by saying that we in the United States are working hard to understand this earthquake and help in the recovery process. Our hearts go out to those who are living in the affected area.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time, Mike, and thank you to all of you out there for listening. If you'd like more information on USGS earthquake research and earthquakes that are happening around the world, go to earthquake.usgs.gov. If you'd like this podcast or any other USGS podcast, go to usgs.gov/social media. This podcast is a product of the U.S. Geological Survey, Department of the Interior. Thank you for listening.